Let's get soft if you wanna get soft with it.
Sometimes you feel you gotta love somebody, and that somebody is you. Sometimes we feel we need to touch somebody, touch somebody.
Get soft if you want to get soft with it. Hello, folks. That's Kurt Braunohler.
That's Joe DeRosa.
Welcome to Emotional Hangs, the podcast about adult friendship and vulnerability.
You know what it's about at this point.
Well,
you're
maybe
in.
Maybe they don't.
Maybe this is your first one. If it's your first one, welcome. I want to set a table for you. I want to make you feel at home. Here, I got your comfy chair.
Yeah.
It's just perfect. It's not too big. It's not too small. It's right in the middle for you.
Yeah. And maybe it's not their first time, but the person listening is just a fucking idiot. And can't remember what it's about.
In case you forgot, it's all about us getting vulnerable, guys. We're going to talk about our friendship. We're going to do a little feeling with each other.
Yes. This is a big episode because this is the first new episode back in a month. This is August. This is sort of the start of season two, I would say, of Emotional Hangs. I am excited to be back. I've got a lot to talk about. I was traveling for a full month. I know some of you thought I was in rehab because Kurt is an asshole and said that on the podcast. And
it's It's a very funny joke.
And I said this in the intro to the old episode that I introed. You said I was in rehab. You'd think one concerned friend or family member would have written to me. Like, is this true? Nobody.
Listen.
Nobody.
No concerned friend or family member listens to your podcast. Remember that.
No, I mean, because they were seeing
no
the
family. No family follows you on Twitter. No concerned friend cares what you do.
I mean, it's
remember that. And that's true for everybody, all right? Even if you have a podcast or you don't have a podcast.
Right.
Most people don't give a shit about you. They're never thinking about you.
Right.
They're never
well,
thinking
not in
about
this
you.
Town.
Not in this town.
Not in this town. This is,
I think this is the town where people just simply don't think about other humans.
It's crazy. Dude, I got to tell you, after, we'll get into all this later. But
we also have to start it off right.
I know. Sorry.
On three.
One, two, three.
Let's get soft. Go.
You really learn when you leave LA for a month.
Uh-huh.
Like how terrible these people are. Like, I was in other cities and I was like, my God almighty, you know, only to be rivaled by the narcissists of New York. You know, but I mean, Jesus Christ.
Give me an example. What were you? You were in a Wawa and somebody gave you free hot dog in Philly.
Every time, this is one thing I noticed, every time I read a tweet or saw an Instagram thing that made me fucking furious, it was somebody that lived in LA that was in show business. Without fail. It was this trip where I was like, if I can get the money together to buy something, I'm going to buy something somewhere else so I can go there to get away from this place sometimes. But it's just, I know some lovely people in this town. We have some very dear friends. But man, you got to find those motherfuckers. They're not falling out of the damn trees.
Yeah.
They're not falling out of the, this is the town, ta- you literally.
It warps your mind. It warps your mind.
It does,
this town.
It's sick.
Yeah. Where it's like, you become like T.J. Miller going into in an interview just being like, girls ain't funny, I'm the bad boy of comedy. Because show business warps your mind and makes you think that's a good or okay thing to do.
Is he really?
That's what happens. You're here long enough, that's what happens.
I don't know what's more offensive, him saying women aren't funny or him referring to himself as the bad boy of comedy. I don't know what I'm more disgusted by. Is he really calling himself the bad boy of comedy?
It's like that. I'm summing up.
He's not using those words.
No, this is a New York Magazine, I think it's a New York Magazine interview that he's given. And he's just stirring the pot. He's just stirring the pot just to stir the pot.
He did that thing, too, when and I couldn't tell if he was joking or not, where he did the exit interview from, what's that fucking show? The computer guys? Silicon Valley.
First off, the computer guys is a great name. Secondly, that you called it Silicon Valley, which is how Ray Romano still refers to the show Silicon Valley. He's always like, yeah, yeah, you're Silicon Valley. I like that you and Ray Romano continue to refer to Silicon Valley as Silicon Valley.
Isn't that how you say it?
Silicon Valley would be an area with women with lots of breast implants.
Hey,
Silicon.
That's my kind of TV show.
Buzzing.
But he did that exit interview when he left the show, and nobody could tell if it was serious or what, where he was being like, this is, well, he was like shitting on everybody.
He shat on everybody.
Yeah, and he was like, this is good for Thomas Middleditch. He wants to be a star. He doesn't need me there, like, overshadowing him. I'm paraphrasing.
Oh, but, no, totally.
But so I can't tell if TJ is just trying to piss people off because he thinks it's funny.
I think he's trying to piss people off because he thinks it's funny. I think, honestly, I think he thinks it gets him more press, and it totally 100% gets him more press.
He seems like a pretty... I'm surprised by the woman comment. That's where I'm really starting to get confused now, because I'm like,
it's I think it's bullshit. I don't think he even thinks that. I think he's saying it just to, because he knows people will take it and be like, and like literally Us Weekly or whatever was like, TJ Miller says women aren't funny, and then like just linked to the article. You know, where it's like he knows that that's like a trigger thing, so people will be talking
about
it.
And is this a thing that was taken out of context where he said something that wasn't that bad, and then they took a snippet and made it sound like he was being sexist, or was he actually being sexist? Do you know what I mean?
He said women aren't funny because they are taught to not be funny, and he expects more from such, like, sparkly, beautiful creatures or whatever. He said something crazy.
So he was almost trying to be positive, but he's so crazy it was negative.
Yeah.
Man, he is a wingnut, that guy. You know, look.
So that's what we're talking about.
I never had a problem with TJ.
No, me neither.
Would I want to be trapped in a room with him? Not on your fucking life, though.
No.
Anyway, here's the thing. It's a sick town, and I do want to start with an air it out with you.
People call it sick town. I like
sick
that.
Town. Yeah.
It's like New Chinatown, sick town. You want to start with an air it out.
With
I mean,
you.
You just slid an air it out. And for those of you who don't know, air it out is a segment on the show where you're allowed to bring something up that upset you with another person, and the other person needs to be open to it and to listen to it.
Yes.
And
but it doesn't always have to be an upset.
It doesn't have to be upset.
I felt too vulnerable to say this to you.
Okay.
But that's not what this is.
I'm going to gird myself for the air it out. And also, now I'm beginning to panic.
It's nothing big.
No. But here's the deal. I feel like, before you go into the air it out, I feel
don't
like...
Don't ruin the end of the air
God
it out.
God damn it. Go. All right,
because you're going to say, I feel like I was being bitchy yesterday, right?
No. Go.
Oh, that's not what you're going to say? Oh. Oh, well then... I felt like, now you, at the end of this, you texted me and you did say it was very late in the
day. But to say what it was.
We were going back and forth about the podcast today. We were having some scheduling issues. And
yeah.
Kurt was staunchly opposed to us running the final archived episode that most of you haven't heard. So I didn't understand why, but I also understood that he felt passionately. So I was kind of just... saying, like, dude, I'll do whatever you want. I'll defer to you on this. You seem to care. But here is my thought, and that's it. Like, I was trying to be very passive, and then I was starting to feel disappointed in myself for not being, like, as passionate as you were. Because I passionately believed, this is great. Like, give these people the content. Like,
right.
Let them have it. It should be out there somehow.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, but yesterday we were talking and you text. It was all texting. You can't see the tone and stuff.
Yeah,
and a lot of it didn't even seem directed at me. You just were so. You just seemed so goddamn angry.
I was angry yesterday,
and I was like, you know, I'm gonna give my friend a pass because he's got a baby. He's running around doing God knows what today for work. I get it. He's stressed out, so I'm not gonna take this personally, obviously, and I'm not gonna take it too seriously either. But the one part of it that bothered me, but then you redeemed this. So I want to make that clear. Was that I felt like there were a couple moments where you were like, where you were kind of like, I'm demanding that we do this way, and then I'm also not going to be flexible in any way. And I was like, well, it can't be both those things.
Yeah.
You know, that when you sent that one email where you're like, I don't have time to do an archive intro, Joe. If you have time, you go for it. It's like, okay, so you don't have time and you're demanding that I do something. I'm like, come on, dude.
Yeah.
But then when you texted me and you were like, dude, sorry, man. I know I was being a little bitchy earlier and whatever. And I
oh,
was
yeah.
Like,
no, totally. And also.
That meant the fucking world. Because I was like, because, you know, you picture like, should I say something or whatever? And if I do say something, will he get mad? And
yeah.
I was picturing all these bad scenarios where you're like, you think I? Because I give a shit, you know? but I was like, oh, that's cool, man. He realized like that could come off.
Oh, 100%. And also yesterday was bad. Like sometimes, you know, it's like, it's a combination of things. It's multiple things. First thing. Baby wakes up earlier than I expected to, just interrupted whatever sleep I was going to get. And that, like, started off like a bad mood for the day.
Sure.
But then secondly, I also have felt like I'm just in between all these things right now.
Yeah.
Like I'm waiting for projects to start, or I'm trying to pitch projects.
Right.
Or I'm like, don't have time to write stand-up. And I just feel... like everything, I just wake up terrified and stressed out.
Right.
And so I was terrified and stressed out waking up about like career stuff, and then also no sleep. And then I was just fucking, I was yelling at everybody yesterday. I yelled at you. I yelled at Andrew on the email. I yelled at my wife. I didn't yell at my child, but it was like, it was crazy.
Look, you apologize to me. I think you should give an Andrew apology right
Andrew,
here,
right? I'd like to apologize to you. I definitely was like,
was,
no, we're not doing
short.
It that way.
It was like that boss talk where you're like, Andrew, I prefer not to do that because I feel that it's least effective.
If we,
you know, and it's like, man. And then I even threw in, I mean, talk about out of character for me. I'm the good cop.
I know.
In this scenario.
When you find yourself in a situation where Joe DeRosa is the good cop to your bad cop, you're on the wrong side of the issue.
I threw that email and I was like, see, sometimes it all works out, everybody. We figured it out.
And I almost emailed back, shut the fuck up, Joe. So it feels good to talk about it. That's the whole point of emotional hangs. It feels good to talk about it.
It feels great to talk about it. And I'll say this as well. To me, it's more progress in our friendship. The fact that I didn't get reactionary with you and go, hey, fuck you, dude. Like, I'm fucking doing my best. I don't know what you want me to do. I'm sorry, you know?
Yeah.
And I just was like, take a breath, dude. Your friend is stressed out.
Sometimes, yeah. Sometimes.
And whatever. And then that fact that you said to me, like, hey, dude, I'm sorry. I was being bitchy. On your own fruition. I never even said to you, like, hey, dude, you're being a little short today. You know? So, like, that was a huge for both of us, I feel like.
Yeah, no. It's, thank you. And I apologize again, but, yeah.
You don't need, it's fine. It's like, it's not like, it wasn't a terrible thing. It was one of those little things where you're like, eh. What did you think I was going to say when I said, don't ruin it?
Oh, I just feel like I've been, just checked out, you know? I've just been checked out because I've just been, like, it's the having, it's great to be a parent. And also it is, it's like this whole new thing where, like, the majority of your time is spent taking care of the child.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just trying to still figure out how my life works, you know, because it's like I've defined myself in my whole life up until this moment by the things that I make.
Right.
By the comedy that I make, by the projects that I do. That's my sense of self.
Right.
And now that is 1/8 of my day, which I have to get like a babysitter. And I literally have to pay someone $20 an hour while I like do the thing that I think defines me.
Right.
And so it's like, it's not that, and I'm excited to be a parent, and I think that that's going to become like a new part of how I define myself.
Right.
But it's just a transition period. And so, I've been a little depressed.
I can understand that. You know, look,
do you not have a kid?
A kid.
Then shut the fuck up, because I don't want to hear it.
I don't have a kid, obvs. But I can tell you this, as a selfish prick and somebody that's only done things for himself, you know, I felt I went into a depression when I got my dog. It was like, I gotta, God damn it.
and it's also like you feel like a selfish dick to say that. Do you know what I mean? Like, I mean, if you don't, you should. But
no, I would feel guilty about it.
Yeah, feel guilt, and I feel guilty all the time. Where it's just like, what? This is, my child is far more important than like some dumb jokes I'm gonna write. I know that, and I feel that way.
Of course.
But it's like you get scared, you know.
But it's also too, dude. It's look, you have a child and you love your child, but it doesn't
hands
mean
down, of course.
It doesn't mean that a bond doesn't have to form. It doesn't mean that it's still not a new person in your life. It doesn't mean that, you know, immediately. I've had so many
but
parents.
That's not it. That's not it.
Oh,
do you
no,
know
no,
what I mean?
I know, but I'm saying like
I have a deep bond with her.
Of course, but I'm just saying like that idea of. Let's put it this way. A year from now, I don't think you'd look at I have to pay somebody and go over in the same context.
No, you wouldn't.
So, you know.
It's just getting used to something. Do you
exactly.
know what I mean? It's like incorporating it into your life. And
that's what I'm trying to say. Like, right now, it feels like a new thing.
Yeah.
Every parent, every recent parent I know, they're like, all that shit about, like, they put her in my arms and I instantly fell in love. They're like, that's bullshit. Like, you have a new thing, and you have to get, like, used to it, and then you start to love it truly, and then all of a sudden it's the most amazing thing. But that takes a little while,
yeah.
You know what I mean? And I'm not, I would agree with that. It's like,
yeah.
You know.
But also, I don't think that, and here's the thing. This is the thing that is difficult to understand, where it's like, she has a 100% of my love. Like, it's,
of course.
It's very intense. Do you know what I mean?
Of course.
But that doesn't, just because you love something more than you've ever loved anything in your whole life before, doesn't preclude the fact that this is your identity. This other thing is your identity. And now you have much less time for this thing that you define yourself by.
So maybe the more accurate way of phrasing this is the love does come instantly, but the selflessness is something that builds.
I don't like any way that you're talking about
this. Why?
Why? It's not selflessness. It's not selflessness, is it? I mean, like,
sure.
This thing of like making things and
no,
like,
that's
writing,
not selfless. That's selfish.
That's selfish making things,
but not in a negative way. Like, look, selfless isn't always positive, and selfish isn't always negative. These are two terms, okay, that everybody needs to have a balance of.
Uh-huh.
But I believe that the day will come,
yes,
where you would say, I don't give a flying fuck about my career. I'm just letting it.
That's what I'm scared of.
Why are you
that's
scared of it?
That's what's making
but
me
it'll,
depressed.
It'll self-depress. And that's why I say this selflessness will grow, and you'll get to a place where you'll be like, oh, I didn't need to worry about that. I was way too worried about this other thing. I put off my focus here. That other shit works itself out. It's fine. It's like fine. Everything's going to be fine. And you'll adjust.
But that has never, ever been the case in my life before. That if I don't, like, because I have to work very hard at doing, like, at having a career. I have to work very hard at making things. I have to work very hard at, like, being able to, like, be paid and make and pay rent. You know? And so I never, to think that all of a sudden I can focus all on this and then this thing will just take care of itself, I don't think that's true. And that's what depresses me and scares me, is that I will stop being who I once, this is what it is. Here it is. I'm scared. No,
yes.
I'm scared that I will stop being who I once was and I will become something else. And
which is selfish. I'm not saying it's bad. I'm just saying
I'm not saying that's selfish. That's that's just simply I'm having this own realization. It's a fear of transition that I'm like, you know, I'm going to become something new that's like not just a comedian but also a father.
Yeah, well, you already
and
are.
And that's a new thing. And I don't know what it looks like, and that's what I'm scared about.
This is what it looks like. You'll just get used to it.
I'll just get used to being depressed that I'm not going to have a career
you're
anymore.
You're not depressed. You're not going to not have a career anymore. That's stupid. That's a stupid thought. I won't even entertain that thought. You're destroying things right now. Like I mean, in a good career.
I don't want to hear that shit.
But it's true. You're having a very good run right now. There's no reason.
It
for
all
you
goes away in a second, Joe. You know it.
Well, if you think like that, it will. But you know, you'll just get used to this, and that's when the depression goes away. You don't need look.
I feel better already having talked about it.
Well, this relates to my entire trip that I was on.
Yeah.
I was supposed to only be away for 2 weeks. And then I was going to come home for 2 weeks and then go away for a weekend and then come back again. And I did, the 11th hour, I'm talking about like on my way almost out the door to the airport, I was just like, you know what, dude? I'm not coming back, man. And I put everything that I could into a carry-on, and I grabbed my backpack and my dog, and I was like, let's go, man. And
this is why we had so many archived episodes there.
Yeah.
Because Joe, right before he left, just decided he wasn't coming back for 2 months, which felt a lot like, well, you're going to rehab, aren't you?
And I just did the road, and in between, I'd go to my mom and dad's and hang out. And I saw friends, I visited people. And dude, trust me when I tell you. Now I did have to mail a few boxes home because like I did buy some shit like old video games I wanted and stuff like that. But like, you know, I didn't for me to go on the road for that long without a base and to live out of a tiny carry-on suitcase. I mean, it's tiny. That was a huge, huge exercise for me in letting go, in not stressing. And, dude, my bank account got low out there. All right? Like, low. And I was like, oh, Jesus. You know? Because, like, shit I was getting paid for was getting mailed to L.A., and I didn't have, you know what I mean?
Right, like, yeah.
So I wasn't going to starve or anything, but, like, I did not feel great about it. But I didn't panic. I just was like, yeah, it is what it is. I had one or two moments where I woke up like, oh, Jesus, what am I going to... And I was like, nah, fuck that, dude. Yeah, I'm not doing that. And it was so cathartic, man. I just learned so much about temperance when I was out there. It was really, really great. And part of that was from the fact that I... So I'm saying you can learn this thing.
Oh,
it's,
yeah.
It's part of it is letting go of it, though.
Yeah.
Like, you do work very hard. Come on, man. You work hard as shit. It's like, yeah, dude, don't write... Who says you have to write new jokes right now? Why is that a rule? Because you just had a special?
Goddamn Louis C.K.
Well, you're not Louis C.K., and I don't agree with that philosophy.
No, I don't. I definitely think he could have waited 2 years in between some of those specials and... Just taking the best bits.
It's always said like, well, Louis does that because that's what Carlin did. And it's like, no, Carlin didn't do that. Carlin put out a special every 2 to 3 years.
Yeah.
He didn't do it every year. I don't know where this there's no bigger Carlin fan on earth than me. And I can tell you the moment in the fucking special where he says how long it takes him to put some shit together and what special it is. But it's like, there's no rule. It's like Louis also sold his special for $5 a pop, and everybody went, that's what you do now. And it's like, no, that's what Louis does, because Louis will still make $500,000 from that.
He'll make way more.
Yeah, yeah. You know, so first of all, get that shit out of your head. And second of all, it's be a dad, dude. Who cares? Be a dad for a few months. Don't write any new jokes. Don't host your goddamn Monday night show.
Now we get to where it is. Joe's having a birthday party. He happened to choose a Monday night, the night that I host my show that I've been hosting for 12 years. He knows that every Monday night I host Hot Tub. And then he wants me to not go to Hot Tub and not host my own show so I can go to his birthday party.
Yes.
A lunatic who has a birthday party on a Monday fucking night.
Comics always have parties on Monday and Tuesday nights because everybody else is on the road Wednesday to Sunday. So you have it on a Monday or Tuesday to be safe. I've never not had a party on a Monday, and it's always been packed because all I invite is comics. So yes, I am having a birthday party, and it's my 40th, and excuse me for asking one of my best friends, maybe you don't host your fucking show one night and come hang out like it's a special occasion. That's all.
Let me see what I can do.
Fine. But that's not why I bring up the show thing. What I was going to say is, I cannot believe, it's admirable, I cannot believe you and Kristen still host that show. I can't believe it. I can't
I love it.
Stand doing a weekly.
Because, oh, I love it.
Because then but here's why I don't like it. Because if I don't have any new shit to say that week and I don't have any, then I'm like, fuck, what am I going to do? The people are going to know. I'm not going to have new stuff. And
yeah,
what,
and yeah I know. That's how I feel every week.
Yeah, you don't need to feel like that. There's no need to feel like that.
I mean, I've been doing it for 12 years this way. I'm not going to stop now.
It's worked out great for you.
You piece of shit. You monster.
I'm saying let yourself off the hook, dude.
I don't think that's not the way I work. If I let myself off the hook, you know what I become? I just fucking move to Key West and I die.
I'm going to hit you with a real heavy one right now.
Yeah.
And you might not like what I'm about to say, but I think it needs to be said.
What?
When Kristen says, I have to go work, she goes and she works and she doesn't host the show, correct?
Yeah, because it's a TV show.
Yeah. No, yeah. I'm not giving Kristen shit. I'm just saying this is the truth, though, right?
And when I'm shooting something, okay. She hosts
yeah,
it.
Exactly, yeah, exactly, right? Yeah. I know. I'm not about to shit on Kristen.
No, I'm not
I'm
worried you're going to shit
on
Kristen.
This is the dynamic.
I think you're going to shit on me.
I'm not going to shit on you.
Go.
So saying I can't be there for 3 months because I have a baby isn't the same? Isn't that as important? It's crazy. Don't host the goddamn show for a while. Take a breather.
I like hosting the show.
Hey, we all like hosting shows. We all like doing things.
We all like doing things.
Kristen likes hosting the show. She gets a TV show. This is more important. I got to go do it. I can't do both. It's too much. I can't. You get a TV gig. I can't do both. It's too much.
Uh-huh.
You have a baby. You're saying to me right now, I feel like it's all too much at the moment, so then stop. Get a goddamn guest host in there for a few weeks and give yourself a break. So then when you go back, you have 3 weeks worth of shit to talk about. And you're not pressuring yourself. I got to be there Monday. I have 20 new minutes.
Oh, my God. But here's the deal. I see this is just a backdoor way to get me to come to your birthday party. Look, I appreciate that. All right? It's very cute, you know, the way you're just doing it. It's all about me. Just me taking some time.
You're making a joke out of it. It's not. I'm being serious.
But also, no. Hot tub, I look forward to every Monday night. To not go, I would miss it.
Wow. You'd think you'd say that about your daughter.
You piece of shit.
But you know what I'm saying, right? I'm just saying if I were you, I would do that. I have found...
It's not the way my brain works.
That's fine.
That, to me, is like...
Being lazy?
I hate it. It's being lazy.
I have taken great solace in the periods of not working.
Oh, I love it. Here's the deal. That's what terrifies me. I love not working. I love just not doing anything and just fucking around. And I can do that, but then I would starve and my daughter would starve and my wife would starve.
I know, but I'm not saying because you, when you don't work, you can fuck around. That's not what I mean. I mean that number one, you are allowed to have, dude, we don't go on vacations. Think about it like that. All right. I'll speak personally here. I don't go on vacations. I don't take them. I refuse to because I'm like, I'm not spending money on a trip. I don't have any interest in doing that.
Uh-huh.
And it's just a brief respite. It's not really relaxing to me because you're traveling. And then if I'm somewhere else that costs me a lot of money to go to and I'm not getting out and doing enough, I'm going to feel like I'm wasting the money. And then that's not relaxing. So I don't go on vacations. So when I have a week, this week, for instance, is pretty slow, like, until Saturday. But it's like, I'm just like, yeah, dude, I earned this time. I earned this because I went and I played Poughkeepsie or Duluth or fucking Peoria 4 years in a row.
I would prefer if the rest of the podcast was you naming towns. Because we didn't get it. I don't think we understand what they are. Keep it going. If you're not playing Dayton, if you're not playing St. Petersburg.
You know what I'm saying, though?
Yeah.
It's like, I played those years and years and years. It's like, so I earned, and I also took a greater fucking chance with this career than most people take with their careers. Like, I went into a really unstable field. I'm not patting myself on the back for that. I'm just saying, like...
Sounds like you are.
I know it did. And I don't mean that I am. And I'm not. I'm not. But I am. Because I'm better
Joe DeRosa from the streets!
No. I'm not, honestly, I'm not patting myself on the back. I'm just saying, like, this is a terrifying career to pursue, but it does gift you things sometimes.
Oh, yeah.
And one of those things is downtime, is the allowance to be home during the day and not have to be in an office all day, every day. Or not always, you know, never taking your work home with you and all these things. So I just think, you know, you can let yourself enjoy that a little bit.
Okay.
Without the guilt of, you know, you strike, I mean, I don't know if this is true or not, but you've always struck me as one of those guys where it's like, if you're not filling your time with some sort of productive activity, you feel like you're, like, wasting time and all this shit. Like, you're not a take-a-nap guy, it doesn't seem, you know?
I love a nap. But all if I'm not, like, working, I would like to be, like, doing something. You know, if I'm not working, I'd like to be like surfing or going for a hike or something like that.
Well,
that's
basically what I'm saying.
Yeah.
If I'm not working, I have no beef with my couch.
Oh, hey, and listen, I do that too, you know?
Sure.
But I understand. I understand. What you're telling me is to work less hard, be more lazy, and just fuck around more.
Why?
And then my career is going to take off.
Well, listen. This is how I know I'm striking a chord,
defensive.
This is a huge tell. This is a huge tell. You're not being open right now. Everything I've said to you, you've responded with a joke, with a flippant joke, instead of a real response.
Because I feel like I do all the things that you're saying. Do you know what I mean? Like, I take a lot of time off. I definitely just don't write jokes for a very long time.
Right.
You know, I do all those things, and I don't find that they in any way help me.
Well, it just sounds like you're lazy then. I don't know what to tell you. Congrats, you've created an unsolvable problem for yourself. I don't know what to tell you then. You started this by saying you're working so much and being a dad and you're depressed and it's driving you crazy. Then you
I
lay off and I don't do anything ever. So I don't know what the hell you're talking about anymore.
But I solved that for myself while talking to you about it.
Because that's
worried.
How it works. You just solve it. It's not a process. You just solve it.
That's how it works, guys. I'm fixed now. Thank you. I want to talk. This is the thing I've been. And this is maybe why I'm making jokes. Is I've been trying to transition out of this topic to the topic I really want to talk to you about, because you did something very fascinating when you're home living with your mom.
Yes, we started going to therapy together.
Parent son therapy.
Yeah.
I have never heard of this.
Neither have I.
So whose idea was that?
I think it was her therapist's idea.
So your mom has a therapist.
Yeah.
And she was like, you're always in here talking to me about this piece of shit, Joe. Why don't you bring him in here so I can really see for myself?
Yeah. I don't believe somebody this shitty exists. Well, my mom, okay, so the story is...
You getting teary-eyed?
No. Oh. I think I told this story on the podcast, the big fight my mom and I had on the way to the airport. Okay. So after that fight, my mom just kind of collapsed emotionally and went into a really, really dark depression. And we were talking. We had made up and everything since, but we were talking, and she's like, I just don't have anything in me, and I don't want to do anything. And It was sad. I didn't think she was going to, like, kill herself or anything like that, but, like, it was dark. Like, she was, like, sleeping all day, like, all, you know.
Oh, wow. And this was when?
A couple months ago, I guess.
Okay.
And then I said, Mom, you're depressed. Like, I keep telling you, like, you're a depressed person, and now it's finally rearing its head, like, hard. And she's like, no, I realize it now, too. And she was like, that fight, it triggered something in me, and, like, I'm just empty. Like, it really destroyed me and everything. And she's like, I'm not blaming you. She's like, I'm just telling you some switch went off. So she said, I'm going to go back to therapy. And I said, okay, good. So she started going back, and her therapist was like, that fight indeed triggered something in you. And here's where you're correct, and here's where you're wrong, and here's where your son was correct, and here's where he should have done better and was wrong or whatever. And they talked about it, and my mom started getting better and better, and my you know, over sessions. And then the therapist was like, look, you know, you guys have an interesting dynamic. Why don't, if he's open to it, he should come in here, and we should all talk.
Wow.
And we did. We did three of them.
Wow.
And then we're going to do them once a month via phone from now, from here on out. But we, it was pretty, it's pretty intense. The first one, I was harsh, like.
You were harsh with her.
Well, yeah, because I, for the first, I don't
know.
So
you just opened guns blazing on mom.
I had a lot to get off my chest.
Is this a safe space? Fuck you, mom. Fuck you.
It was the first time in my, and I didn't realize it at the time, but it was the first time in my life I had a mutual party there that said, like, let it all out now.
Yeah.
I never had that. I didn't have siblings.
Yeah.
You bitch to your friends. They're like, oh, shut up. Yeah, your mom's annoying. Whose isn't? You know, like, it, like, I just never was in a position to get it out. My dad was not the guy for me to talk to about it, or is not the guy for me to talk to about it. And so that was the first time, and a lot came out. And then the second session, we went in and talked about how my mom was saying, I feel like you ripped me to shreds. And I kept saying, I didn't rip you to shreds. I needed to vent, and I was just venting. The point of that wasn't to hurt you. The point of that was for me to get these things out of my system.
Yeah.
And she was like, I feel like you ripped me to shreds. So then the whole second session was about, like, how my mom perceived the first session.
Wow.
And her talking way more about me.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, her perspective about me. And I was, you know, I didn't say much in the second session. And then the third session was the really intense one. Because after the first two, we were sort of getting along, and my mom and I have a very, very combative relationship. So we love each other, and we do get along, but it can explode pretty quickly because there are triggers. So after the second session, we were in a pretty good space, and it was like, man, we're really just getting along and whatever, you know. And then I went away and did some gigs or whatever, and then I came back, and this was the final run that I was at my mom's house. And she did a thing where, so she's had to use her walker lately. It elevated from a cane to a walker to a wheelchair because she keeps losing her balance. She's, the neurologist can't see her till the end of August. So they don't know why she's losing her balance. They can't, so far, find anything wrong. But the fact is she's losing her balance a lot. So, and my mom's a heavy-set woman. So it's like, if she falls, she cannot get up herself. It's not happening.
Yeah.
And she goes backwards sometimes. So my dad had her on this walker. And I'm like, Dad, what good is this walker? If she falls backwards, that's it. Like, we need to get mom into a wheelchair.
Uh-huh.
That was the first day that I was home for this last stint. And then she didn't want to use the wheelchair. So then that was a fight. And she was like, it was all about her pride. And I don't want people to look at me like I'm an old lady and all these. And I was like, it went from being like, Mom, please do this, please, to me eventually being like, I don't give a shit if you're afraid that people might look at you weird. Nobody cares, number one. Nobody is looking at a person in a wheelchair in public going, look at the person. Nobody. So stop it. That's crazy.
Yeah.
I was like, and then also, I don't fucking care if they are. You're going to bust your goddamn head open. Like, or break a hip, or break your back, or neck, or whatever. I'm like, You're 70. You got to do this right now. So she did start doing it. And then we were in a restaurant one night. And we were having her use her walker when we were with her because it was like, well, if we can stand behind you, then it's fine.
Yeah.
And the hostess or whatever took the walker before we sat down. And then I got a call at the end of dinner and I had to go outside. And then I came back in and the hostess brought her walker over. And my mom goes, oh, she ruined my plan. And I was like, what do you mean? And she's like, I wanted to walk to the toast to stand to get the walker myself. And I was like, and dude, I was like steam out of the ears. Like we went into the car and I rolled up the windows and I go, we're not driving anywhere yet because I've got a lot of yelling to do right now. And she's like, why? And I just was like, after all that we have talked about for these last 3 days, you were going to fucking walk by yourself and the rest? Are you out of your mind? And then I'm looking at my dad and I'm like, you were going to let her do it? And he's like, no, I wasn't. And I was like, no, you weren't. Then why did she have it in her head that she was going to do it? So then that's a whole other thing now.
Uh-huh.
Who's lying? Somebody's lying. And now it's the kids, the parent, and all that shit. So that was the third session. We went in, and immediately the therapist was like, what is going on? Everybody's very timid. Like, everybody's very... And I was just like, I'll tell you what's going on. I don't want to visit them anymore. I'm sick of this shit. I try to tell my mom. I try to do stuff for her so she's healthy. She doesn't care. She doesn't listen. I went off.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, I feel stupid. I feel stupid for caring about her at this point. And my mom was like, I'm sorry. And like, the therapist being there, I don't want you to think these things are just me yelling at my mom. The therapist being there was able to say, like, when my mom was like, why can't he say it in a nice way? And she was like, he probably has, and then this is where he's at now. Do you understand? He's panicking about you. Do you get it? This isn't anger. This is panic.
Yeah.
And my mom, like, finally was like, I get it. I'm sorry. I totally get it. And it was just like, dude, you know, look, take your pick, wheelchair or potentially death. And she, like, it finally all sunk into her head. And she's been great since then with this situation. But that situation was a crazy, crazy trigger. Like, dude, I was like, seriously, I'm never going to come see you people ever again. Like, I was so mad because it's happened so many times. And I was just like, I can't do this anymore. And I was like, I'm about to turn 40 years old, guys. I can't have this stress in my life. I can't keep going to bed with a stomach ache because I'm worried that you're not doing what you got to do over here and you're going to fall or this or that or whatever. I was like, I can't do it. I can have a heart attack. I'm officially in heart attack range at 40 years old. I'm not giving myself a heart attack. So if you can't work with me on this, I'm not coming home anymore. That's it. And you know, it was like a really, really... It sounds intense, obviously, but it was a really healthy session, man. And I called my mom yesterday, and I was like, I woke up in a panic today. Are you okay? And she's like, I'm fine. Why? You know? And she's like, I'm using my everything. I'm using the walker in the house. I'm using the wheelchair. I'm like, out of the house. I'm like, Mom, I just get, what if you fall and you can't call anybody? She's like, I've been carrying my cell phone in my pocket. Don't worry about it. And I was like, oh, my God, thank you. I feel so much better. She's like, please don't worry. I promise you I will do these things. Like, you know. So I know my reaction to it wasn't the most productive or healthy way to react to it. And as the therapist told me, she goes, I get it. I understand why you're mad at your parents. She's like, but you're like boiling under the surface with it. Any little thing is setting you off. And I was like, yeah, it's just everything echoes everything else at this point. I just get furious. And she's like, well, you need to go to therapy and work on that. And I was like, that's fine. I agree with you. I shouldn't get this mad at them.
Right.
But she also said to my mom, like, he cares about you, and that's why he's mad. And, like, stop doing this to him.
Yeah.
So, dude, it was pretty, pretty intense and pretty great.
Like, holy shit.
So the trip ended when I was leaving for the airport. My mom hugged and kissed me, and she said, we're going to get through this. I don't want you to worry.
Yeah.
You know, so it was really positive, and it was pretty – oh, this was the other part that was crazy cool. I hope she's... I don't think she'd care. One of the sessions, she goes, what are some of the fundamental differences or problems that you have with your mom? And I go, I'll tell you a huge problem I have with my mom. She says stuff that she doesn't believe. She says stuff that she doesn't believe. I know that for a fact. And the therapist was like, well, like what? And I'm like, my mom says that she thinks technically gay marriage is a sin because that's what the church tells her to think. I was like, she doesn't think that. We've got gay couple friends that she adores. She doesn't think they're sinners. And the therapist, and I was like, and I've been arguing with her about this for years. She won't just say it. And the therapist was like, do you really think that? Like, and she really pressed her. She's like, just be honest. Do you really think it? And my mom was like quiet for like 30 seconds. And then she was just like, no, I don't think that that's a sin at all. She's like, you know what else I don't think is a sin? People living together before they get married. But, you know, the church told me to think that, and I've you know, I've just kind of regurgitated it. She's like, but, and I was like, holy shit. And then the Trump thing came up because she was a Trump voter. And I was like, you know, it also bothers me that she's supposed to be religious, yet she votes for this guy who says I grab women by the pussy. I was like, that to me is asinine. And then the therapist was like, don't use words like that. That's condescending. You're calling her asinine.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, I'm really sorry. It just confuses me. I don't understand. And she's like, okay. And my mom has since said she regrets supporting him.
Yeah.
But when we left the session, she was like, I think I'm going to change my party to independent. And I was like, Jesus Christ. I mean, this is a 70-year-old woman
yeah.
who was raised in a male-dominated household.
Yeah.
Abusive father. Held back terribly by her father and the way her mother let her father treat both of them. You know, old school Catholic, old school Italian, like real old world stuff. For a woman at 70 to be like, you know what, I think I'm going to kind of change the way I look at the world.
Yeah.
That's pretty fucking crazy, dude. Inspiring.
It's inspiring, and I think you should just be, I think, first off, I'm proud of both of you, but I've just like, what an opportunity to have. Like, I don't know many people who have a contentious relationship with their parents who would, be willing to go into therapy or have the parent be willing to go into therapy like this. And also, you get to get all of this, deep personal stuff about your mom. Do you know what I mean? Like,
sure.
That's really cool. Well, like, also, you get to learn that
stuff. The first thing that it's helped me with is, as I tell you the story, I'm now able to go, oh, out of context, it sounds like I'm just really yelling at my mom. I wasn't able to do that even 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
If I was telling you this, I would have just been screaming at the top of my lungs.
Yeah.
And to the point where you'd be like, hey, dude, like...
Yeah, you seem upset.
You seem like you're mad. And I'd be like, no, but you don't fucking get it, dude, because this is what she does. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, you know, that's a huge step for me, and I'm thrilled we're going to keep doing it. And again, to bring it all full circle, that's what separates people like us from the scum of this city. Because I said to my mom, I go, do you know what people in L.A. do? They never talk to their parents ever again because they can't deal with it. And I was like, please, I don't want to get to that point, but I'm getting closer to that point. I was like, please don't. I don't want to do this.
Yeah.
And granted, maybe people would be more open minded to do it with their folks if their folks were open minded enough to do it with them. Maybe that's a problem. I don't know. But I
would love to hear from any listener who has done this. I mean, I don't know of anyone who's done parent child therapy as an adult, like as with an elderly parent and a middle-aged man. Like, this is, if anybody's out there has ever done this, please write to us, DM us on Twitter. You can publicly post it on Twitter. You can do it at the Emotional Hangs Twitter page or at Joe DeRosa or Kurt Brownoler. And we want to hear about your parent interactions. So hit us up.
Yeah, thanks, everybody. I'd love to hear about this stuff. Plugs. Oh, well, if you're hearing this right now, I am in Amsterdam, and tonight is the first show. I'll be here from the 2nd today through the 5th, co-headlining a show every night for the Comedy Train Festival with Kyle Kinane. So that'll be fun. So come out, hang out with us. It'll be fun.
And, that's we're going to be in September 20. We're doing a live Emotional Hangs in Las Vegas. September 23rd as part of Scoops Fest. So go to scoopsfest.com, get your tickets, and come and see a live Emotional Hangs. And also, we're also doing stand-up together.
Yes.
See you later. Feral Audio.